Welcome back to Tellington Tea Touch for You, Cellular Wisdom Decoded. Today is July 26, 2020, and this is hour two of our first day of this four-month program. Welcome back, and Linda.
Thank you very much. So I would like to, I'm going to have us do some more sharing or opportunity for questions a little deeper into this hour. We're going to have the opportunity to hear from Eleanor what brought her out of the COVID. It just fits so perfectly with what, Chanel, you saw with the darkness in your body. So, but before we get there, I'd like to know, have other opportunity for sharing, whether it was from this journey that we did, or some of you who have been with us and using this work. Would it be really wonderful to know how you were doing. Francoise, would you be willing to share? How are you doing?
Hello.
Hi.
I'm very glad to be here with you. And you want me to?
How were you doing with your breathing exercises, with your and
sometimes I feel like I am healed, and it is present, but the emphysema is present, but it is not present at the same time. It's difficult to explain, but I want to say that I trust the Tea Touch to make it work correctly. My lungs, to make my lungs work correctly. And I continue with the blessing body, and I feel better for the day long.
So what I'd like to remind you, and for everybody, those of you who were on before with Francoise and those who are new, Francoise is on a journey in her life with emphysema. And if you don't know what that's like, it's the breathing can be very terrifying at times. And what we did, that everybody did, I had everyone stand up, and I'm just going to remind you, because we all need this again, we all need it. And that is to, we started off, and I'd just like to invite you, for those of you again, is to start with acknowledging our ribs, because we forget this. This is what I find. And I'm just taking the back of my fingers here and I'm circling. I do a circle and a quarter and a lift. And then ease back down. Go to another place, circle and a quarter, lift the ribs. And I really invite you to stand up and do this, because we all need this. And we can, like, we think of, like, I can take the back of my hand now here, and I hold one hand with the other, and I'm going to move my right hand with my left. And just think of the whole body moving. And Francoise, what is important, I think, really makes a difference. Let's feel all the parts that work. Let's focus on these other parts, no? And really put your hands on. And it was so beautiful. In the last class, I asked Nancy Randall. I just saw her doing this, and she was so interested, like, really go everywhere. It's a circle and a quarter and a lift. Push the skin upward. Deep breath as much as you can and hold and smile. Remember that smile activates the feel good hormone. And so just like, get us moving a little, right?
It and here.
A minute, and, right?
And here. In here. The touch in here is very efficient. In here.
Great. And so what I was going to say is that as Nancy was watching this and doing it, and what she said is that she got so much out of this breathing exercise, and she's done all kinds of yoga and other breathing, but this, sorry, I just have to organize myself here. I've got my beamer on my back. But she said she got, this was the most deepest breathing experience she'd ever had. So I asked her, like, why? Why is that different? And she said, because I'm putting my hands on myself in a loving way.
Yeah.
That, this is the thing, because when we have anything that's wrong with us that doesn't work ideally, we other it. And if we can just bring focus on all the rest of the parts that are working, just focus on the parts that are working.
Yes.
See, what can we do to, like, whispering with a light touch on the parts that aren't working? So, and that putting our hands on ourselves in a loving way. Many people, one of the important parts of this work with the Tellington work is the Hawaiian prayer ritual of Ho'oponopono. And we'll write in the chat the books if because I can't imagine my life without having that. And the simplest book is just called Ho'oponopono, and it's H-O, you'll see it in the chat, O. P-O-N-O, P-O-N-O, Ho'opono. And it's a very simple ritual of forgiveness. And it's simply four phrases for whatever part of the body isn't working. And that is, I'm sorry for whatever's going on, however you felt about it. Please forgive me. Thank you. Thank you that it's done. And I love you. And the I love you part, that's many, many people have a really hard time saying I love you to themselves. However, if you say I love you to that divine spark, that genius in every cell that Joan King starts this book on the code for cellular living, the code for authentic living cellular wisdom, first sentence is every cell is a genius. If we had, and what is it? It's a creative energy of the universe. It's a divine spark within that we can love. And if we hold this vessel that contains this 100 trillion cells, and we think of that communication and interconnection between the cells, this gives us a whole other way of being with our bodies. And about 16 years ago, Heart Math Institute director Roland McCready wrote a report. And when I read that report, it absolutely changed me, because I used to say to myself, oh, Linda, that was really stupid. But he wrote that every time we address ourselves in a negative way, it affects our immune system. And that's when I quit saying that stupid thing. And it's really, but the question is, if the body isn't working as well, if something is painful, it's normal to other it, cut it off. And yet we can now have a different way of thinking of this 1 1/4 circle that's in all of nature. This, it's the golden ratio of 1 1/4 circles. as activating that light. And I want you to read this. This is from the just newly formed 2 years ago, International Journal for Biophysics. And what they write is that modern science of photobiology is presently proving that we know today that man essentially is a being of light. That's the quote from Dr. Pop. We know today that man essentially is a being of light, light in every cell. And that's what he studied in his institute in Neuss, Germany. And in terms of healing, the implications are immense. We now know, for example, that quanta of light can initiate or arrest cascade-like reactions in the cells, and that genetic cellular damage can be virtually repaired within hours by faint beams of light. And this is the thing, we can visualize that. For those of you who don't know the work of Dr. Norman Doidge, and Joe Dispenza, We Are the Placebo. What we think is what we get. I mean, those of you who follow Esther Hicks and Abraham, what we focus on is what we get. If we focus on that light in the cells, that genius in every cell, that cellular wisdom in this vehicle, that's what T-Touch is about. And it's so basically now simple. Other feedback, questions, or comments at this point before we go to Ms. Eleanor?
Can wave your arm in the air.
So Sandy, go up, please, Sandy, speak. I just like what you wrote in the chat.
Oh, while we're waiting for someone to come on. Yeah, somebody asked if there's something written about the 1 1/4 circles and the connection with the golden ratio. And I said, you get to hear it here. We haven't written about it yet.
No, but just Google it. Google a golden ratio.
Yes,
it's really Google beautiful.
In terms of us writing about the connection, we haven't written
right.
about.
Right.
Yet.
Yeah, no, I'm familiar with the golden ratio here. How does that connect to 1 1/4 circle, though?
Ah.
The connection is not obvious to me.
It may not be because the 1 1/4. And so it's interesting. You made it. I'm so glad that you made it in here.
Oh, hi, Linda.
Hi. The what's so interesting about, I don't know, maybe 12 or 15 years ago in Germany, we were doing a workshop, a weekend workshop with T-Touch, and a young man who is a savant in the came into the class and he said, this 1 1/4 circle, that is the basic circle of nature. It's almost exactly 1 1/4. And when we realize that, we start thinking of it in a different way, because what is it? How is it that we have this thousands, literally thousands of case studies over the years with humans and with animals of releasing pain and releasing fear? And how I came to this idea of releasing fear at the cellular level, it's an intuitive thing. I was working on a very nervous horse for a fundraiser for the American dressage team in the early 80s. And I was just putting my hands on in a way, I just kind of like letting the horse feel itself. And somebody, I had about 600 people there, and somebody said, Linda, what are you doing? And I intuitively said, I'm releasing fear at the cellular level. And when I said that, I thought, stick a cork in your mouth. What? Because nobody talked about cells in those days. Now it's everywhere. But it really scared me, because I figured my work is going to be invalidated. People are going to think I'm crazy, like what? And so I went home that night and I called a friend of mine, Dr. Alice DeGroot. She is the veterinarian she was the first, she was a vet for Equus magazine. And she's the person, for those of you into dogs, who developed the Halsey. And I called her and I said, Alice, do you think it's possible that cells can hold fear? Where do I get this? And because I really trust my intuition. And she said, Linda, It's only in the Western world that that is not common knowledge. That in the world of Eastern medicine, it is common knowledge that cells hold the emotions. Now, in 1993, Dr. Candace Pert wrote her book, Molecules of Emotion. At NIH, National Institute of Health, she proved that indeed the cells hold our emotions, and it's through these chemical connections we think it's in our head. And that's why normal psychological, just talking about something, is not going to get rid of an experience like you can do when you use T-Touch. And what we do for deep-seated fear, one circle and a quarter, a pause, and a quarter circle back. Now, why that works, I don't know, but it does. And we have like so many case studies of that showing that it works. And it's through these case studies and the collection of them that we know that this stuff works. It's really fascinating. Other comment or question, how this has worked for you? Some of you have really been working on this. And by the way, Chanel, this genetic defects, as he said, I mean, this is all Dr. Pop. If you Google him, you'll see who he is. He is the, you know, the grandfather of this concept of light in the cells and biophotons. And I had the great fortune to be in his lab twice in Germany. And we did a study with T-Touch with 58 people. It's, you know, the small study, you can't consider that a study, but what we can consider is the inductive process reasoning of how we came to this through all of these other studies by Bruce Lipton, through Charles Sherrington, Joan King. There are many, many people who have, but these are my scientists that have inspired me to recognize, wait a minute, how come this works? Anyone else who has had an experience with a reduction of fear or pain that you'd like to share? And then we're going to go to Eleanor.
Hi, this is Victoria from Western Massachusetts.
Hi, Victoria.
Hi, Eleanor. And Gretchen and Krish. This was really powerful for me, Linda. I'm just so grateful to be here. I'm already going to cry. No, I don't know. I had a plan to say something. I didn't feel like I was doing a very good job of being present. I didn't realize that the seminar was on until 10 minutes after it started, and I was hurrying to finish lunch and get on. And being in the forest, I could smell it. It was so great. And I'm not living in the country anymore for the last 3 years. We're after living in the country for 25 years. And I live in a small neighborhood, and there's a lot of trees behind, like three houses behind me. There's, you know, like thousands of acres. But so I'm feeling disconnected. I have had so much pain in my knees. And I went to the ocean for 9 days. I just got home last night. And then it was great. It was helping my legs get stronger. I had a two-story fall when I was 12. My father had to throw me out to save me from a house fire. It's 23 degrees below zero, really. Just many, many, many layers of things happening for weeks after. And I've had Lyme really bad a few times, fibromyalgia. I wouldn't be walking if it wasn't for the Feldenkrais method, I'm sure. But my knees, the coronavirus that I got March 16th, now it's wreaking a lot of havoc in my body. And maybe with the other old viruses, shingles right after the fire and Epstein-Barr a few years later. So I came today barely able to walk, and I was gonna go to a saltwater pool of a friend. I thought the seminar was gonna be tonight. And I just popped out of the chair for a break. And that's the first time I've popped in weeks. So, you know, even though I didn't feel like I was doing
We lost your sound there for a moment. What happened, Sandy?
Victoria, hold on. We can't hear you right now. It might be your Wi-Fi.
I'm finding out it's my computer, actually. I thought it was my Wi-Fi. So, you know, I was staying with Moshe's dictum of just do Feldenkrais, you know, so I've kind of pushed away light, energy, chakras, but I've been trying to bring light into my body in the last weeks, and it's not been so easy, and I've had a little support, and that reduced the pain, but I'm really surprised how much pain. I shouldn't be surprised, because this has been your work for a long time, but I'm pleased, and thank you so much. My knees feel much less inflamed with just my first attempt here. Thank you.
Beautiful, thank you. And it's about recognizing. I mean, we've been doing this work, Victoria, for years, since I started in 1983, when I shifted from this beautiful Feldenkrais work that I had so much success with humans and animals, but I shifted to following the 1 1/4 circle theory. This 1 1/4 circle. It just came, you know, this, anybody can do this. And I started following it, and people started reporting, wait a minute, that back pain was dramatically reduced. Ah, that thing that they'd had here for ages, just like you're saying, started to shift. And of course, over the years, we've learned so much about it. But the thing that has made the difference to me just from these 2 years of online courses that we've been sharing, that Eleanor and Cindy and I have been sharing, and this concept on the back of this book, this was like, first of all, the concept that I love you, saying I love you to the divine spark, at the genius in every cell in the body, from these scientists, from Sherrington and Bruce Lipton and this, and Dr. Pop, this light. And then this concept, you all, on the back of this book, I want to share it with you because it gives us another way to deal with this darkness, because so many people I know are feeling, I mean, we know what's coming down on the planet. It's especially in the United States, you all, and especially out for all these people who are refugees in various camps, this is a very hard time on the planet. And when we recognize that each one of us is connected to this creative, we are reflections of this creative energy of the universe in every cell in the body. That's science. And I love reading Bruce Lipton's Spontaneous Evolution, his whole chapter on how the cells communicate. He said, if we would just, you know, have that communication and the connection, which is, T-Touch is a link to that connection, to that that potential between ourselves, that we could live in harmony on the planet. And each one of us, we can find that within ourselves and keep going back to this, because we are affected by all of the fear that's out there. And it's an ancient Chinese proverb that fear cannot live in the face of gratitude. And so I don't know about the rest of you, but a few times, I've allowed myself, and I want to feel, the pain that so many are feeling when they don't know what their future holds. And then it doesn't help me to stay there. I have to go back to the gratitude and sending prayers. So it's connecting with that light within the cells. This concept that of the quantum science, and that out here in the quantum field is all the information we need. And we can connect with that intuitive connection, just listening. And I love this concept. This is what gives me strength. I mean, 83, I just turned 83. The last week or so, man, I have been really feeling this heaviness, and I keep coming back. This is a little book that's now available on Amazon. It's called Uncommon Prayer, and it's about the connection with quantum science. And I just love this because this concept that in between the stuff that makes up the universe, that's everything we can see, is not just empty space. Holding it all together is a wonderful, rich quantum field out of which emerges in orderly patterns all matter. That's everything that we can, you know, that we think is solid, and all energy. And energy, according to Greg Braden, I love his definition of energy, every thought we have, every feeling, every emotion, every belief, that's energy, that's out there. This goes on to say that most scientists call this consciousness or intelligence, and the rest of the world calls this creative energy God. Deepak Chopra calls it the field of infinite possibilities. And I want you to just listen to this, this field of infinite possibilities, because that's what we're getting with this circle and a quarter, T-touch. And that Deepak says that when we achieve the stillness of the prayer state, which is the stillness between the touches, just stay present, that we are directly participating in that field, in the quantum field, and helping to shape the forms that emerge out of it. That means helping to give the best support to this communication between the cells. And that's what we're doing here. Just, and you, and hearing the success and sharing it makes a huge difference. On Tuesdays, what we've added in, thanks to the Feldenkrais Summit, because so many people came in who didn't know anything about it. So Tuesday, each Tuesday, I do 2+ hours, however many hours you need, to people having, dealing with various issues. And then I lead them through the touches and everybody follows. And it's been phenomenal. And I really appreciate any of your skepticism. Who wouldn't be skeptical if you didn't hear this? And this is why I really appreciate your questions. And, you know, if we don't know something, because what do I know? We do our best to share what we do know. So Eleanor, we had 2 participants with the hands. We'll take that. And then Eleanor, I want them to hear your story because you're really helpful. What do we have, Eleanor?
So Amy had her hand up. Amy, go ahead.
Hi, am I unmuted?
Yes. You are unmuted, beautiful girl.
Hi there. Oh my God, Eleanor, I'm so glad you're better. I have been praying for your recovery. And for everybody here and for everyone who's spoken, it just really touches me so deeply. Everybody. And God, I miss Sandy and Eleanor. Linda, we were in class exactly a year ago. And my phone popped up this magnificent picture of Hava, you and me together. It's just right as class was starting, the phone automatically popped it up. It was wonderful timing. Now, the reason I'm coming on at the moment is as we were doing my favorite part in the forest, the journey that you always offer and guide us through. And my video might kick in at any moment. We never know. It's a mystery of my computer. You know, I was watching myself in the mirror and I was holding my heart sort of like between my hands versus just from front to back. And I kind of thought, well, wait a minute, why do I have to look at myself in the mirror head on? So I kind of went behind myself with my hands. I thought, well, wait, there's more. So it's interesting that you were talking about going into the dirt, because I went into my body, but with my eyes, and my eyes followed down from my L4, which is prominent, unfortunately, and it followed down through my hip flexor, and I saw the stoppage, the blockage between the light and the dark, and I was sort of like the Fantastic Voyage, where you're like in the body, and I'm going to work on that. My P PT worked on that distance wise with me last week, and I found it today. It was like I was traveling along the curving, I don't know what it was, the flow of the cells, and all of a sudden there was this big blockage, and it felt like a big traffic jam on a highway with a big bunch of intersections with like 5 or 8 different directions of highways going all one spot. And it was very fascinating to see the light versus the dark and this big knot, so to speak, blocking it. And I've never actually seen it quite as vividly, and never there where I'm inside my body seeing the flow. It was magnificent. And I wanted to thank you for leading me and us through that.
Blessings. Thank you for sharing. Eleanor?
So I see also Morjean. Hi, Morjean. I unmuted her.
Okay. Hi.
Hi, we hear you.
Hi, I just wanted to share that I copied off the internet a few years ago, way before any of these classes, that the body cannot hold two opposing emotions at the same time. So there was a scientific study, I think it was done at Harvard. So you can't hold love and fear at the same time. You know, so like when Linda said to do she did the gratitude when she was getting out of her fear, that the body cannot hold two opposing emotions. And they also found out that if you just smile for 10 minutes as an exercise, it's an equivalent to an upper body workout on the effect that it has on the body. So that normally when you do an upper body workout, you sit there and smile for 10 minutes, the amount of benefit that it does to the body is the same. So I wanted to share that with people because I thought it was very interesting. And at the time I shared it with all my friends. So smiling is very important. I always try to remember to do it.
Thank you so much, because that smile activates your attention. And it's why animals are so important in our lives, because they make us smile right now. It's wonderful. Thank you so much for that.
And then Yael, you're next.
I'm unmuting. Hi. Glad to be here. Well, I would like to share something about being in the forest, which is that I felt something very similar, in my opinion, to Charlotte. And like, well, I'm in a group with strangers in a forest, which is very strange to where I live and where I've been all my life, which is the verge of a desert.
Tell them where you are, Yael.
Honey?
Tell them where you are.
In Jerusalem.
Right.
We have many stones, but not that many trees. Really, we have many stones, very interesting stones with stories, you know. Every step you take, you're stepping on history and stuff. But trees we don't have so much. So anyway, okay. I'm in this very strange environment for me. And I think that what I felt was very similar to Charlotte's, and it's a very powerful thing to feel. I also felt protected. And what I felt was, after I let it be kind of more, I felt like I had no hunger. I was fulfilled, kind of, no hunger, you know? And it's not my usual way of being. I'm always curious and also, but I was, you know, I had all I needed, kind of. And now, there's more. When I put the mirror in front of me, I felt that the place that didn't have the most light was on the right side of my lower ribs. Now, I've never had any pain there, any problem at all. I don't know how it popped up. I never had a pain there, and I had pain all over, I think, with years, but not there. And I thought, you know, what's going on? And then I remembered that when there was a polio pandemic, when I was just born, I had polio and I dragged the leg. Now, I don't remember it. I don't remember, but this place, it did. I think this is the only explanation I could come up with. Maybe it's not true. I have no idea. But yeah, that's why I think it's something similar to Charlotte's.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you. And Eleanor, I would like you to know, we'll hold the other, we'll come in the next hour with the other, but I really want you, because what you went through fits so perfectly right here and what you have to bring to us.
Wow. Thank you. So,
Yana, we'll look forward to you after the hour.
And we had also, hold on, the next person on there was Yona Gershutter. So sorry if I didn't pronounce your last name right, but I can definitely do Yona. So Yona, I think, was the next one on the list. And then who's after that?
No, but Eleanor, what I need right now is for you to do your piece. And we'll come. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it so perfectly fits with...
So perfect. So as some of you know, I was really, really sick a few weeks ago with COVID-19. And some of my symptoms, they were, oh, hey, look at that. Okay, so some of my symptoms were a little bit different, but I guess that makes sense because it's me. My fever was only 100.3. That is not even considered on the realm of COVID, but honestly, the experience of the fever was I was boiling on the inside, and the only thing that could make that fever help me feel better was a cold washcloth, because I refused to take Tylenol or Advil because I was super protective of my internal biochemistry to keep that as my anti-inflammatory inside naturally. And there's the science behind that, and I did a good job. But the other thing that I had was I was sleeping 22 to 24 out of the 24 hours a day. I mean, like passed out sleeping. Like I would sleep on one thing side of me and not move the whole time, which made for sore areas on my body too. I wasn't moving. The other thing that I had was beyond extreme fatigue. I can't even describe to you. I couldn't lift my head up off the pillow. I couldn't move my pinky finger. The only thing in my body was I could move my thumbs. And on day two or three is when I could text. But up until that, not. I couldn't move anything. I didn't eat. I didn't drink. And I didn't go to the bathroom. And my whole body just went into this quiet state. And my son was very concerned because you've got to hydrate. I'm like, I have to trust. I just can't anything. The first day and a half, I couldn't talk at all. No words came out of my mouth, nothing. And on day two, my husband just sat across and looked at me, and all I could do was stare into his eyes, and I had no words to come out. I couldn't talk. And the staring was, please don't dare call anybody or take me to the hospital, because it'll do me in. I'm the butterfly. I if I go to the hospital and they do their things, that'll be the end. And I looked that into his eyes. And after 35 years of marriage, he read it, he looked at me and said, I promise you, I hear you. I will not take you to the hospital. And then he says, because I know it will kill you. And then he says, but what do we do? And I just closed my eyes and turned my head. There was nothing. I just needed to go in. Now, here comes Linda. Linda, here, I don't know, Linda, how you heard I was sick, because I wasn't calling anybody. I wasn't returning messages. I was just laying there.
Because you didn't return my message, so I knew something was wrong.
Oh, thank you. See, I don't remember that. Because you know, with Linda, I mean, I'm a return messages answer all the time, or at least return messages right away. And so that's how she figured. And so she immediately went on and did a Facebook Live explaining to people, and people came on from everywhere, what was going on with me, and made the Linda version of a prayer group. And honest to God, this was on day three. This was on day three. And I don't know, can you see me? Am I? Okay, sorry. So this was on day two or three, the end of two or three. And no, three, this is on day three. And my husband at this point is getting very concerned, and my younger son, he's beyond very concerned. And Linda takes the group, and I just lay there kaput, literally couldn't, again, still couldn't even move a pinky, couldn't do anything. All I could do was focus on inhaling. My body could exhale, but my body didn't inhale on its own. So I was doing a lot of practicing breathing. And she took the whole group through, going through the forest. She talked about the fairies flittering about me, and I could feel them. And Sage sent me a picture of this stunning, beautiful type of butterfly emoji. And I'm like, those were the colors of the fairies that were flittering around me. And I could feel them touching me. And it's just in this lightness, right? But they were doing it with a purpose. I could feel that. And then she starts to talk about the light in the cells and the light in the space between the cells. And I checked in and I couldn't see light. And all these years that Linda talks about the light, I can always see the light when I check in. And the color that it was a smoky gray, a smoky, on the smoky, smoky side of gray, not light gray, but a smoky. It wasn't fear. It just, that was the color that was in the space between my cells. And I went, oh, so all I did when she's guiding us through this is changed my thinking. That's it. I changed my thinking and saw the light in the cells and the light in the space between the cells. And immediately, I kid you not, I felt this lightness, this high level of communication that happened through all the cells through my body, that happened instantly from every part of my body, from head to toe, toe to head, finger to fingers, everything. It went like this. So it started in and it went, whew, and it was without an effort. It just happened. And at that point, I went, oh my gosh, I could lift my fingers and I could see more clearly. Now, and that was the moment I started improving. So on day four, I wasn't sick, but I was so badly sick day one, day two, and day three. This was the process. Now, that was life-changing. The other thing that I used in Tellington Tea Touch is some people with COVID get really bad headaches. I didn't get headaches. I got instead this unbelievably weird sensation of my scalp starting on day one. My scalp was so tight, all along here. And I hadn't lost my sense of smell, by the way. I only lost my sense of smell after I got better. So the whole time I was sick with COVID, I didn't lose my sense of smell. So my son is like, oh my God, that's amazing. Look, you can still smell. Then after I got better, I had no sense of smell. But and another time I can share with you, but this was the big one. When they say COVID is causing headaches, I wonder, because my personal experience, I'm sensitive. It was not a headache. It was my scalp muscles were tight beyond belief. And when I did quarter of a circle touches, right where the skull bones come together, that's where it was the tightest. It made a difference. But you know what? I had to do it again and again and again. And that's the art of forgiveness and love in our body. And in Feldenkrais, as we call it, neuroplasticity, I just kept giving that feedback, using these touches to make it possible. I know anatomy and physiology, and I was clear it was the trigeminal nerve. The trigeminal nerve starts in the base of the brain, and it goes to the eyebrows, the lacrimal ducts, meaning the tear ducts, all the musculature around the forehead, and all here on top of the scalp and to the side. And I went, that's my trigeminal nerve. Holy cow. That means this COVID is affecting my nerves in my brain, my cranial nerves in my brain. And I'm like, no, leave my brain alone. I love my brain. And I used the T-touches to get it back. And then it went from the top of my scalp and it hit my eyebrows, right? And then my eyebrows were driving me nuts. It was my eyebrows all the time. They were numb, but they were a buzzing kind of numb. And I had no expression on my face. I'm like, I get it. I understand. It's the trigeminal nerve. That's okay. I know what to do. Right? It was using the circle and the quarter, touches with the pads of my fingers.
And let's just follow Eleanor with this, because it's really interesting.
It's amazing. Because how many times in life do we carry tension anyway in our eyebrows?
Roland.
In the space between the eyebrows, and it made a difference. But you know, because it was a COVID virus on my cranial nerves or affecting that part, I had to do it again and again and again until it finally became quiet and went away. And I did the inhalation through the nose and the exhalation through pursed lips. So that gave me the back pressure to feed it into my lungs to support myself, and it gave me a smile. And I remembered to go back and see the light in my cells. That's it. Very gentle, like butterfly touches of circle and a quarter in those areas that were affected, that were unreasonably tight, in which I couldn't even move my face at all, and just did those circle and a quarter touches, inhale through my nose to reach my nitric oxide receptor sites, which we need for ourselves during COVID, and then out through pursed lips to give beautiful back pressure to nourish my lungs, to smile when I could, and to see the light in the cells and the light in the space between the cells. And it all started with that day that Linda took us through the tour, and everybody was sending blessings. I felt the shift in me. I didn't know that she had done it, and I felt the shift happen in me. And that's when I was able to open up Facebook and I saw the messages coming in. And because I missed her first Facebook Live because I was kaput. It was the second Facebook Live, the one that she did the light in the space between the cells. And when I saw gray, I just changed my scene to seeing the light. And that was it.
Eleanor, it was so amazing. And were you able, at what point were you able to actually do your ears?
You know,
how many days was it?
Not
2 weeks, like, right?
Yeah.
For all of you, if she had been able to do her ears because you couldn't move enough, but you can, this is one of the things you just put. I take my forefinger, my thumb behind, and I just want you to feel this, because anytime you're feeling out of sorts, and to get to that trigeminal nerve to activate it, another way is to go put your finger down in this little bowl, forefinger for those of you on the phone, a little bowl in your ear, and then your thumb behind, and in the middle of the ear, you'll feel a little divot. It's a little, like a little tiny, like a little dip. That's where the trigeminal nerve comes in. And Eleanor and I discovered this a couple of years ago when she was having a terrible after flu, and your eyes were so bad.
Dry, and, I had dry eye, yeah.
Right, and that's when we discovered that first, that trigeminal nerve, and the effect it has on the taste, the smell, you know, on the jaw, the mouth, the lips, and up over the whole head where you were feeling so tight. I mean, that was really interesting.
And right, one because of the it things, goes into the whole upper jaw. It's involved in the taste.
Exactly. So one of the things too that Eleanor did, and well, Valentina asked me to share this. Eleanor, see, I have on the back of my chair. This is the beamer, and when Eleanor couldn't breathe, she was laying on the beamer all up and down her lungs, because that's what started you before you couldn't move. Right?
That's right. Before. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because it was going, it already managed both lobes in the lower part of the lobes. And I went, you're not going any further than that. And I wasn't comfortable to put it on the front side. So I used the little pad and I put it on my lower lobes for 20 minutes, the up middle lobes, and then the upper lobes for 20 minutes. And then I would start it all over again. And that allowed me not have to think about inhaling, because the only way I could breathe was to purposely spend energy thinking about inhaling. That's a lot of work.
Right. And the reason I bring it up, because Valentina asked me, why don't we talk about the beamer? Because I don't want to sound like we're selling something, you know, that the T-Touch activates the light in the cells and between the cells, and the beamer activates this beautiful basal motion, pumping motion in the capillaries that goes to the body. And so anybody who's interested, if you want to just put your name in the chat, I will send you a link, because on Monday at 1 o'clock California time, I'm going to get on, and anybody who's interested, I'll tell you about that. So, you know, it's been a lifesaver for me besides T-Touch. So just write your name and say, I'm interested in Beamer. I'll send you the link, and I'm going to do a Zoom session with questions and answers. So we're going to take our 10-minute break now. Eleanor, you're a miracle. I mean, how fast you came out of that, because the next after, on the fourth day only, you were already out in her beautiful patio. Well, first you sat out and cleaned around the patio, next day you were gardening.
Right. Yeah, you knew I was healthy when I had a rag and I'm cleaning all my furniture. I'm like, oh, it's so dirty out here from not being out.
Which is amazing in terms of getting, not going to the hospital. So
yeah.
Sandy.
Okay.
This hour.
Thank you so much, Eleanor and Linda. Gosh. So let's meet at 1:15 and we will see you back here at 1:15.